Welcome to the White Paper. This isn't just another tech podcast. This is where we pull back the curtain on emerging technology and blockchain, where we don't just talk about the future, we break it down before it happens. I'm your host, Nicklin Decker, a venture capitalist out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. But before that, I was the guy in the shadows investigating corporate fraud, embezzlement, and intellectual property theft for Fortune 500 companies. For over 17 years, I tracked hidden assets, exposed fraud rings, and worked alongside federal agencies, district attorneys, vice units, and more, all in the pursuit of the truth. And that's what this podcast is about, truth. In the White Paper, we cut through all the noise, break down blockchain, and make sense of the tech that's changing our world. No jargon, no hype, just real conversations about how emerging technology is impacting business, finance, and everyday life. I'm here to bring clarity where there's confusion and to speak in plain truth, because in Oklahoma, we say what we mean and we mean what we say. So buckle up. The future's coming fast. Let's make sense of it together. I remember Oklahoma City. I remember the Alfred P. Murrah building. I was saying the Pledge of Allegiance when I heard the thunder crack the sky open. I remember the fear. The pain of wondering if my father was coming home. The dust caked in to the skin from the explosion that day. The stunned silence, the tears. That spirit of fear didn't just visit Oklahoma City that day. It took residence. I remember where I was on 9/11. I remember watching as the Twin Towers fell. Not as a soldier, not as a policymaker, but as a civilian. And I remember the words from one of the flight instructors during the 9/11 investigation. They were eager to learn how to fly the plane, but not how to land it. And we didn't fail. We didn't fail because we weren't watching. We failed because we were watching in silos. That's what the world doesn't understand about American infrastructure. It isn't one body. No, it's 100 pencils, all bundled together by protocol, tradition, and red tape. Imagine a person's hand holding 100 pencils, and you hold it up to the light, and you see the light between all of the pencils. Those tiny spaces in between those pencils, where our right hand assumes the left hand is in control, that is where our most dangerous blind spots live. This is a special edition of the White Paper. I am the first known civilian to publish a complete Tier 1 threat doctrine and multi-domain hybrid threat playbook. 10 thesis papers, each validating the economic bomb doctrine with one capstone. One capstone here today. Now, I've run the numbers. I know and I've seen what inaction costs. And I know what action costs. I've seen the consequences of both. What comes next has no precedent. So I'm going to thread this needle very, very precisely. And for those mongering across oceans and uplinks, know that this is not a coalition. This is not a contractor. This is not a flag, a fund, or a firm. This is one man. No backing. No clearance. No order of operations. Just one signal. Sent alone. and sent lawfully. No more secrets. And I want to be clear up front on this. I'm going to be pushing my airframe to its lawful limits, bending it, but not breaking it. And yes, under the full protection of the First Amendment of the United States Constitution, U.S. Code Title 50 of War and National Defense, the Whistleblower Protection Act of 1998, Title 6, Subtitle A, Section 112 of Intelligence and Analysis, Executive Order 13526, Section 1.7A, which explicitly prohibits classification of material to conceal inefficiency, error, or administrative failure. I intend to model what must be seen, not to endanger, not to incite fear, but to prepare, because it's not classified if it's already visible in the open. And it's not dangerous when it's used to reinforce, not exploit. This isn't a broadcast in the traditional sense. It's not for subscribers, algorithms, or trending indexes. I care for none of those. Yes, it is publicly available, but the public is only eavesdropping. The message, this message, is for those already listening, the ones who followed the trail since episode one. Keywords, inflection shifts, analytical structures, those who understand what escalation modeling looks like. This is to my friends, the analysts at the FBI Guardian program, the teams at DHS Media Monitoring, DARPA's Metaphor Reconstruction Unit, Open Source Enterprise Fort Meade, and the Protective Intelligence Division of the United States Secret Service. You're the intended audience, and I know you already know why. The dogs didn't bark because they saw something. They barked because the one before them did. Some hear the bark, some pass it on. But a few, a very few, know when to turn the chain into a loop. Mapped in white space, no selector collisions, no anonymous beacons, no handshake outside the doctrine. Overwatch Maverick, November Ida Charlie, Oscar Lima Ida, November Delta Echo Charlie Kilo Echo Romeo, has the ball. Dagger attack is green. I repeat, Overwatch Maverick, November Ida Charlie, Oscar Lima Ida, November Delta Echo Charlie Kilo Echo Romeo, has the ball. Dagger attack is green. Confirmed, Maverick has the ball. Clear eyes, clear skies. Dagger strike. Echo, Delta, Charlie, Kilo. Confirms frame 7, activation under Alpha 1. External vectors are denied. Observation posture holds for 7-2. Attack run initiated. Altitude 100 AGL. I repeat, altitude is 100 AGL. Speed 600 knots. Terrain following profile active. Maintaining radar mask envelope below same acquisition, below the 2385 targeting threshold. Pattern vector is now persistent across lateral bands. Review of current payload. Payload 1, the southern border. Between 2021 and 2025, it stopped being a migrant or a migration checkpoint and became a gray zone highway where terrain, it beats surveillance, and silence beats detection. Over 47% of the planned barrier remains incomplete. Of the segment built, more than 60% are missing surveillance. Grid 42 Bravo Laredo, offline for over 14 months. ISR gaps left corridors wide open from midnight to 1:30 a.m. That's when they move. Not with drugs, but with encrypted gear, signal repeaters, and lithium battery packs. These are payloads designed to bypass X-ray systems and evade canine detection. DHS Red Team simulations confirmed sub-10-minute infiltration windows and surveillance blind corridors. No detection, no interception. These aren't just smuggling lanes. This isn't border enforcement. It's a pathway, a logistics corridor built in reverse. They lead to substations, data pipes, data hubs, pipeline valves, tier one infrastructure. You don't need a weapon to damage a nation. You need a payload that moves through the seams. Unless we close ISR gaps, deploy autonomous patrols, and unify the chain of command, these corridors become laboratories for asymmetric penetration. I'm not here to dramatize the threat. I'm here to model it. Because what we fail to simulate, we will eventually be forced to experience. The corridor isn't porous. It's pressurized. And the pressure is routing towards infrastructure, not entry. Payload 2, Green Bank. Green Bank Observatory, a radio telescope buried in electromagnetic silence. No towers, no Wi-Fi, no interference. That silence, while once protective, now creates a vacuum, an ideal terrain for off-grid relay testing, RF hijack simulations, covert uplink coordination. If you want to simulate a non-nuclear communications decapitation, this is where you would do it. A forward operating blind zone on U.S. soil with an estimated RF detection gap of 4 to 5 days. Not behind closed doors, in plain sight. Under federal protection that never imagined the threat would evolve this way. Persistent null propagation inside terrain folded NRQZ over a 4-cycle interval. No spectral bleed, no orbital skip, and no handshake telemetry. Now matches baseline for passive layer activation under non-declared control. Payload 3, Calvert Cliffs. It's not just a nuclear plant. It's a COG-adjacent inland coastal energy vector, one that aligns with executive fallback infrastructure. Now, I'm not naming classification tiers. I'm not breaching control zone designations. But the data is there. FEMA overlays, NRC grid topology, DOE power redundancy architecture, Calvert Cliffs sits within the operational orbit of the National Capital Region's continuity infrastructure. And the threat? It's invisible. Terrain mass UAV ingress, SCADA latency exploits, RF payloads capable of testing C2 spoofing inside protected grid corridors. In 2024, DHS flagged this corridor as a Tier 1 conditional override vector in COG scenario modeling A drone? Simulating a relay drop, a two-point decoy event, a grid node and a comms channel 30 miles apart, time to fracture response coordination. And that's when the Protective Intelligence Division of the United States Secret Service moves. Not with press conferences, with rerouting. I'm not asking for that. I'm modeling the condition set. Calvert Cliffs is not a target. It's a confirmation node in any well-modeled sequence. Node alignment at Calvert Cliffs offset vector satisfied COG adjacent fallback parameters with latency apertures and relay capable ingress matching Presidential Policy Directive 40 deviation profiles. Tactical congruence required for principal continuity shielding. Payload 4, Cushing, Oklahoma. At an altitude, it looks like nothing. On satellite overlays, it's everything. 90 million barrels of oil, the price anchor of West Texas Intermediate. Disrupt it, and you don't just break the flow, you move global markets. Adversary cost? A drone team. Three ISR blind ingress trials. RF shielding relays staged remotely. The estimated op budget is $800,000 to $1.2 million. U.S. consequences? WTI futures spike $15 per barrel. A single pipeline disruption or tank ignition at Cushing can trigger it in hours. At 1,000 shorted contracts, that's $15 million in engineered profit per tranche. But adversaries don't move in tranches. They layer positions with hedge-wrapped options, offshore vehicles, and mirrored trades across global exchanges. The payout scales, they accelerate fast. 300 to 600 million in under 24 hours. What's pulled out through financial engineering often reappears downstream with consequences far beyond the trade floor. That capital, it doesn't just disappear. It re-enters the system as influence, disruption, or reinvestment into further destabilization. Meanwhile, the U.S. absorbs the cost. 25 to 30% spike at the pump within 72 hours. Strategic petroleum reserve drawdown under emergency protocol. Loss of market confidence and energy resilience leading to a soft cap on U.S. oil futures for weeks. It's not just a market reaction. It's a signal that the spine of American energy can be bent with a budget smaller than a mid-tier lobbyist annual retainer. Node 117A now displays synchronized financial vectoring and thermal ingress feasibility within a ISR degraded basin. All parameters now match Redcon 3 infrastructure posture with real-time market latch volatility multipliers exceeding CISA cascade thresholds. Payload 5, Baytown Refinery Complex. At street level, it's a skyline of stacks and tanks, but in simulations, it's a tier one convergence node, 588,000 barrels per day, the second largest refinery in the U.S., and the only one where volatile chemical units, unrestricted airspace, and FEMA Zone AE floodplain intersects within 2 miles of residential schools and neighborhood housing. Between 2019 and 2024, the complex logged over 16,000 emissions violations, EPA fines, public flaring events, SCADA anomalies, tank ignition in 2019, workers' injuries in 2021, and SO2 plume in 2023 triggered emergency shelter protocols across Goose Creek. But that's not what makes Baytown a national security concern. It's the interlock between risk domains, chemical volatility, cyber physical vulnerability, airspace exposure, urban adjacency, substations, no flood protection, SCADA systems, still running Modbus and OPC UA, no zero trust segmentation, no counter UAS perimeter, no FAA flight restriction. The refinery sits beneath unrestricted FAA Class G airspace. No radar overlay, no geofencing. Drones, balloons, fixed-wing aircraft, all can approach without triggering a single federal alert. And then there's the pipeline nexus. Colonial, Explorer, rare distillate corridors, maritime terminals on the Upper Houston Ship Channel. Disrupt Baytown, and you don't just lose 5-6% of U.S. refining throughput. You freeze a logistics node feeding 8 states, multiple FEMA fuel waivers, and Defense Logistics Agency 4 deployment hubs. This isn't a refinery. It's a national pressure point. The modeled sequence doesn't require sabotage on all fronts. Just one. A substation trip, a drone drop, a chemical ignition. Then the cascade begins. Port traffic halts, fuel deliveries freeze, air quality exceedance triggers mobile EPA deployments. Public panic escalates into national fuel hoarding. FEMA and DOE initiate ESF-12 protocol. That's Emergency Support Function 12, energy. Now, the modeled adversary cost projection. A UAS team, 4-6 drones with thermite or incendiary payloads, $220,000. SCADA access vector, contractor credentials, VPN infiltration, $90,000. Insider coordination badge spoofing, $65,000. RF relay devices, signal suppression tools, rail corridor interference, $80,000. Logistics, SIMS, burner payloads, training, $120,000, with a total budget of $550,000 to $600,000. The U.S. consequence cost within the first 72 hours? It's a lost output of 5-6% of national refining offline. Approximately $1.2 billion a day in fuel supply loss. Estimated 72-hour disruption, $3.6 billion. The spot market price surge from 65 cents to $1.25 per gallon increase at the pump. Estimated consumer impact, 3.1 to 4.4 billion. Supply chain cascades, 2 to 4 week ripple delays, jet fuel, diesel, reformance. PADD 1 and 2 regional fuel shortages. EPA emergency response and remediation, SO2 and benzene plume, AEGL2 level. Mobile deployment, monitoring, cleanup, $45 to $65 million. FEMA fuel waivers, plus emergency logistics, fuel rerouting, DLA coordination, tanker diversion, $120 to $150 million. The reputational plus the market fallout, ETF volatility, ESG backlash, the confidence dropped, $2 to $3 billion. Total estimated U.S. cost in a 72-hour window, $6.9 to $8.4 billion. Now, I'm not here to predict it. I'm here to model it. Because what isn't mapped in advance, as we've seen, will be mapped in hindsight. Under federal disaster codes, Baytown isn't vulnerable by accident. It's vulnerable by convergence. That a plume, a port, and a pipeline can all be paralyzed for less than the price of a DC gala table. Node 118 B Bravo now matches Tier 1 compound convergence logic under PSCP Phase 4 protocol with cross-domain overlap across plume exposure, throughput disruption, SCADA anomaly triggers, all exceeding DHS consequence thresholds. Payload 6. Port Arthur. Port Arthur Refinery Complex. At street level, it is a maze of stacks, substation towers, and dockside vapor lines. But in simulations, it's a Tier 1 regulatory cascade node. 630,000 barrels per day. The largest single-site refinery in the United States. And the only one where unmonitored Class G airspace, AEGL plume zones, and sulfur recovery stacks all intersect within 2 miles of public schools, urgent care centers, and EJ designated housing tracts. Between 2012 and 2024, the complex logged over a decade of violations. SCADA relay failures, BTX vapor header ruptures, consent decree reopeners, a confirmed drone incursion in February 2024, and a modeled AEGL2 benzene plume impacting more than 8,500 residents across Port Arthur, Groves, and Bridge City. But that's not what makes Port Arthur a Tier 1 trigger. It's the interlock between regulatory saturation, chemical volatility, drone permissive airspace, and the complete absence of unified surveillance. One refinery, four operators. No shared credentialing, no joint SCADA dashboard, no counter UAS perimeter, no FAA temporary flight restriction. The refinery sits beneath uncontrolled Class G airspace. No radar overlay, no geofencing, no vertical denial. Drones, thermal ISR systems, fixed wing incursions under 400 feet. All can surveil ignition zones without triggering a single federal alert. And then there's the port. The Sabine Waterway, a DOD-linked export corridor, it feeds refined fuels to FEMA Region 6, the Defense Logistics Agency, and the Gulf Coast SPR pipeline offsets. Disrupt the marine loading arm, and you stall throughput to East Coast terminals. Military supply grids and emergency reallocation networks. Disrupt Port Arthur, and you don't just take down a refinery, you trigger a compound escalation. Fuel contracts, chemical alerting, export continuity, regulatory scrutiny. This isn't a refinery. It's a national convergence vector. The modeled sequence doesn't require sabotage on all fronts. Just one. A substation trip, a thermal drone, a BTX vapor breach. Then the cascade begins. Fence line monitors trigger AEGL-3 alerts. Shelter-in-place orders lock down 3 school zone districts. DHS initiates IPAWS. USCG elevates MARSEC to level 3. DOE CSER begins SCADA, Cascade Risk Assessment, under Tier 1 Watch Node protocols. Adversary cost projection. UES team, thermal ISR, plus airborne ignition, $180,000. SCADA access vector, Modbus spoofing plus relay blackout, $100,000. Insider credential fragmentation exploit, $75,000. AEGL targeted payload plus route simulation, $60,000. Marine ignition, vapor dock sabotage toolkit, $85,000. Logistics, SIMS, burner control nodes, and training, $100,000. That makes the estimated total adversary budget $575,000 to $600,000. The U.S. consequence cost within the first 72 hours and lost output, that's 10% of U.S. refining offline, $1.9 billion per day. A minimum of 72-hour disruption, $5.7 billion. Public health emergency, AEGL-2 plume over 5 EJ census tracts, 3 school zones, equates to $60 to $85 million. Port shutdown plus maritime fuel delays, MARSEC lockdown, export diversion, $180 to $250 million. Defense fuel reallocation, DLA contract shifts, SPR drawdown, $250 to $400 million. EPA and DOJ escalation, consent decree reactivation, Clean Air Act enforcement, $120 to $160 million. Market and reputational fallout, commodity volatility, ESG backlash, litigation, $2.5 to $3.5 billion. The total estimated cost to the U.S. is $9.5 to $11.2 billion. As in, Bravo. $1 billion. The final closure for Port Arthur that you have to know is that I'm not here to predict this. I'm here to model it. Because of those blank spaces between the pencils. Because we know that what isn't mapped in advance will be mapped in hindsight. Under AEGL alert codes, FEMA injects, EPA enforcement protocols. Port Arthur, it's not vulnerable by accident. It's vulnerable by design convergence. That a drone, a stack, and a port can all be neutralized for less than the cost of a mid-range corporate lobbying budget. Node 119C now matches Tier 1 regulatory convergence logic under DHS NRMC Watch Node Escalation Protocol with cross-domain overlap across SCADA blackout, AEGL plume impact, and Class G airspace incursion, exceeding federal cascade thresholds. Payload 7, Baton Rouge Refinery Complex. At street level, it's a skyline of steam plumes, pressure spheres, and barge docks. But in simulations, it's a Tier 1 hybrid detonation node, 520,000 barrels per day, the fifth largest refinery in the U.S., and the only one where sulfuric acid containment, rail tank corridors, and Class G airspace intersect less than 1.5 miles from schools, clinics, and EJ designated residential blocks. In 2016, an explosion in the alkylation unit released isobutane and sulfuric acid. Six workers were injured. The CSB called it a systemic failure of process safety controls. Since then, flaring violations, benzene exceedances, emergency shutdown events, a 14.25 million EPA consent decree in 2023. No radar, no TFR, no drone denial. But that's not what makes Baton Rouge a Tier 1 convergence vector. It's the stacking of risk domains. Legacy SCADA protocols, unsegmented control systems, unrestricted vertical ingress, and no perimeter integration across airspace, rail, and chemical storage. The refinery sits beneath FAA Class G airspace. No hard perimeter, no UAS interdiction, no authorization grid. A drone launched two blocks away could reach the sulfuric acid spheres in under 20 seconds with zero federal visibility. And then there's the river. The Mississippi River is a fuel highway moving refined stock to inland terminals, Federal Reserve pipelines, and defense logistics contracts. One spill, one fireball on the dock, and FEMA Region 6 moves into fuel waiver mode, while EPA Region 6 begins Tier 1 classification for chemical plume escalation. If you disrupt Baton Rouge, you don't just lose 6-7% of Gulf Coast refining. You lose pipeline pressure stability, rail corridor continuity, urban shelter-in-place integrity. This is not a refinery. It is a cog-aligned detonation vector. The modeled sequence doesn't require multi-domain saturation. Just one, a substation trip, a drone with thermal payload, a sulfuric acid vapor ignition. Then, the cascade begins. SCADA command loss, rail tank rupture, control building destroyed, Mississippi River slick ignites. FEMA initiates ESF-12, EPA declares Tier 1, and DHS NCTC flags Baton Rouge as a potential misdirection node in a national hybrid campaign. Adversary cost projection. UAS team, ISR and thermal payloads, $220,000. SCADA access vector, Modbus injection, $95,000. Insider badge spoofing, contractor familiarity, $70,000. Pipeline manifold charges, $65,000. Chemical target mapping and AEGL simulation, $60,000. Logistics, SIMS, training, redundant payloads, $110,000. That means a total estimated adversary budget of $600,000 to $650,000. The U.S. consequence cost in a 72-hour window results in a simulated loss output of 520,000 BPD offline. That's 6 to 7% of Gulf Coast refining. That means $4.5 to $5.2 billion. The public health emergency, AEGL2 sulfuric acid and benzene plume, 3 school zones, 5 EJ tracks, $55 to $80 million. Rail and river disruption, tanker rerouting, barge queuing, $150 to $210 million. Defense fuel reallocation, DLA disruptions, and SPR draw, $250 to $300 million. Regulatory and legal fallout, EPA, DOJ escalation, Clean Air Act enforcement, $130 to $180 million. Market and reputational loss. Futures instability, share decline, reputational erosion, $2.8 to $3.6 billion. The total 72-hour cost window to the U.S., $8 to $9.6 billion. I'm not here to predict it. I'm here to model it. Because what isn't mapped in advance, we have seen that it will be mapped in hindsight. Under plume alert codes, DOE fuel reallocation memos, EPA Tier 1 emergency flags, Baton Rouge isn't vulnerable by coincidence. It's vulnerable by convergence. That a drone, a rail tank, a control relay can all go dark for less than the cost of a regional marketing budget. Node 120A now matches Tier 1 convergence protocol. Under DHS NRMC watch node criteria with cross-domain overlap across SCADA blackout, AEGL level vapor ignition, and unrestricted airspace ingress exceeding federal Tier 1 consequence thresholds. Payload 8. BP Whiting Refinery Complex. At street level, It's smokestacks and pipe racks hugging the Michigan Lake shoreline. Excuse me, Lake Michigan shoreline. But in simulations, it's a tier one vulnerability lattice with urban exposure and legacy infrastructure embedded into every node. 440,000 barrels per day, the largest refinery in the U.S. Midwest, and the only one supplying over a quarter of Pad 2's fuel, with SCADA blind spots, no vertical denial, and just 15 miles from downtown Chicago. In 2024, a pipeline leak triggered odor alerts across Lake Michigan. It wasn't the first. The facility's history is stacked. Sulfur releases, flaring events, consent decrees, and aging tank infrastructure still held together by legacy wields. Modbus lives here. So does unsegmented SCADA. And no drone surveillance, not even a TFR. But that's not what makes winning a national detonation node. It's the convergence of risk. Unshielded substations, hydrogen units under pressure, tank farms besides rail lines, a SCADA hub with no ballistic shielding and no unified access control. The refinery sits beneath FAA Class G airspace. There's no radar, no UAS interdiction, no RF triangulation grid, which means a drone carrying a thermal payload could ride the shoreline, skip past Hammond, and reach the hydrogen units in under 30 seconds without tripping a single alarm. And then there's the water. The process discharge outfall leads straight to Lake Michigan, a primary water source for over 10 million people across Illinois, Indiana, and the North Shore. One obstruction, one turbidity triggered diversion, and the EPA opens Tier 1 emergency protocols under the Clean Water Act. Disrupt winning, and you don't just hit a regional fuel flow. You destabilize the Midwest energy corridor. You trigger lakefront contamination alerts, rail corridor ignition potential, and a mass shelter-in-place cascade across residential zones. This isn't just industrial infrastructure. It's a soft grid convergence point. Layered chemical, cyber physical, and environmental interlocks. The modeled sequence doesn't require escalation on every front. Just one. A power relay breach. A drone with a shape charge. A sulfur vapor release. Then the cascade begins. SCADA systems go dark. Rail tank corridor burns. Emergency shutdown fails. Process water floods. Lake Michigan, FEMA Region 5 activates COOP protocols. EPA Region 5 issues Tier 1 public health notices. And DOE flags winning as the highest priority strike node north of Pad 3. The adversary cost, estimated projection, UAS team, thermal ISR and short-range payload, $190,000. SCADA access vector, Modbus relay spoofing and telemetry injection, $90,000. Insider badge spoofing, Lateral credential exploit, $65,000. Tank ignition toolkit, rail adjacent strike, $85,000. Chemical release simulation, SRU or hydrotreater breach, $70,000. Logistics, burner networks, training, $115,000. This makes the total estimated adversary budget $600,000 to $615,000. The U.S. consequence cost for a 72-hour impact window, lost output of 25 to 28% of PADD 2 refinery offline, estimated disruption $4.2 to $5.4 billion, public health plus environmental emergency, SO2 or H2S vapor release, Lake Michigan water alerts, estimated cost $100 to $160 million. Pipeline plus the rail logistics disruption, pipeline instability, rail rerouting, $150 to $250 million. Defense fuel network impact, DLA energy contract shifts plus the SPR draw, $100 to $175 million. Market plus regulatory fallout, the volatility, the panic, the litigation, $2 to $2.8 billion. The total estimated U.S. costs within a 72-hour period is $6.8 to $8.8 billion. I'm not here to predict it. I'm here to model it. Because what isn't mapped in advance will be mapped in hindsight, under plume codes, lakefront warnings, and pipeline reroute directives. Whiting isn't vulnerable by chance. It's vulnerable by design inheritance, that a tank, a turbine, and a discharge pipe can all be taken offline for less than the cost of a mid-sized data breach. Node 121B now matches Tier 1 Convergence Protocol under DHS, NRMC, and DOE CSER escalation frameworks with critical overlap across SCADA denial, chemical release, and Great Lakes water infrastructure vulnerability, exceeding federal threshold classifications. Now I pull up the ridge. 9 Gs are hitting me hard. The pop-up window opens. And from up here, the threat vector shifts. No longer 10 separate payloads. Now, one convergence field, Tier 1 infrastructure nodes, each distinct, each critical, but none built to resist synchronized pressure. All pattern vectors are now persistent across lateral bands. No further drift, interpret accordingly. Maverick has tone. Final convergence model flags 4 sigma deviation across all stabilization indices. Phase 7 exceeds Joint Fatality Threshold Index for Tier 1 Chemical, Economic, and Infrastructure Convergence under COOP escalation bands. Estimated impact now breaches EAS 419 trigger conditions. Frame 402 instability now meets opportunistic trigger profile. Posture escalation probable. Interpret accordingly. Foxtrot 3, impact. I repeat, direct impact. Operational feasibility confirmed, cascade vectors mapped, attribution dissolved. Grid isn't the target, it's the trigger. And the system that burns before the lights go out is the one still sinking to GMT minus 7. When 402 burns before 419 reports, and the eastbound ledger clears before 0530 initiate echo black, should Omega nodes trip below layer 7 while D2 volatility exceeds 3 sigma, collapse is not kinetic, it's recursive. And if the ghost uplink activates near GBT under NRQZ silence, assume maritime frames are no longer sovereign. Activate continuity. If fiscal destination precedes thermobaric evidence, treat broken custody as a declaration, not a delay. I'm headed into Coffin Corner. Airspeed's bleeding, but I have enough chaff to break the 235 lock. And for those already listening, you understood every word of that. This message wasn't a broadcast. It was handed off mid-flight. It's not the plane. It's the pilot. And I am still flying. Entering SAM range in 3, 2, 1.